Invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is a hallmark passage, well to be known by the children of the Lord. There's some things here that the Lord sets straight that we all, everyone, needs to understand. And the children of God certainly need to have this in our hearts and minds, so we might be a witness to this lost and dying world in which we live. In chapter 5, our Lord is found at the pool of Bethesda, and he's there healing a man who's been 38 years with an infirmity. The water there is troubled. And it's a blessing of the Lord upon Israel. And I believe and take this literal. Those that are doubters of the scriptures, they say, well, this couldn't be. It's impossible. But I think this was a blessing of our Lord upon his nation, even in all her disobedience and to him. And the Lord asked this man, will you be made whole? In verse number 6 of this chapter, will you be made whole? The man said, I don't have any way to get into the water. I don't have any man to take me there because I can't get there myself. And I have no man, verse number 7. And the Lord said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And you know what happened? The man stood up and he took up his bed. And he was able to walk, the scripture tells us. Turns out this was Saturday, the Sabbath, a Jewish high day that the Lord had given them. And that became a great controversy. The Jews, the religious leadership there of the day, they looked on at this that Christ had done. And as they had in other times, they said, oh, you sinner, healing on the Sabbath day. A wicked, wicked thing for you to do. Brother Doug in his Sunday school class has dealt with some passages that tell about where the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, if you had a sheep in the ditch, would you leave it there to die? Or would you fetch it out? They all knew good and well that they would. They would take the sheep out. They would pull it out even on the Sabbath day. And so they hated the Lord because of his power. They hated the Lord because of how he put them in their place. And this great offense is laid at Jesus' charge. Then verse number 13, and he that was healed didn't know who he was as they inquire. The religious leadership inquires with him, who was it that healed you? Who was it that healed you? And Jesus had just conveyed himself away quickly. Verse number 14, it says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto the man whom he had healed, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So I believe the Lord saves the man. So there's healing of the body, and then there's salvation of the soul. And understand, it is Jesus that saves. Well, you and I don't save ourselves. We're not given an incantation into salvation in the scripture. We're not given a means by which we save ourselves. What sinners like you and me are commanded to do is repent of our sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel, for the salvation of our souls. So the Lord saves this man. In that, he knew who it was and goes back and reports that into the leadership, the Jews there. And then it says, and the scripture says in verse number 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So they are adamantly, vehemently against the Lord Jesus. They hate him in every way. And we ask ourselves, why would they hate him? Well, he's a threat to them because they have an idea of what they want things to be, the traditions of men that they had taken and lifted up and elevated to be parallel and above the commandments of God, as our brother taught in the Sunday school class. And so now it's time for the Lord Jesus Christ to be very clear on some things and set some things straight. In verse number 17, but Jesus answered them, these that were against him and sought to persecute him because he had healed on the Sabbath day. And something that I want to mention, what kind of effort do you think the Lord put forth to heal? You think it was a great strain? Yeah, do you think he broke out in a sweat? No, it's going to become very clear here in this passage that he is God. He's not only man, but he is God. And by the power of God, he heals. It wasn't great work for the Lord. to heal this man. But Jesus answered them, verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." That's his answer. The Father is working, and my work agrees with what the Father is doing. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Let's pray. Father, your goodness towards us is great, and we praise your name for every blessing. We thank you again for the privilege and opportunity to be able to meet together to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, lay aside the cares of life, all those things in the past week, all those things in the coming week. Lord, that we just might focus at this time upon you and your word. Father, we need you to teach us. We need you to convict us. We need you to stir us unto you the truth of your word. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us in every way. Lord, as your children, that we might walk with you. We might be a good witness of you. We might be obedient to you in every way. For those that are here not saved, we pray, Father, that you would speak to them. Lord, that they'd see these things that you set straight in this word, in this passage. And Lord, we might hear and believe and know that what you say is true. Lord, those that are here and not saved, we pray that they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Lord, that you would save and rescue them as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. The Lord says, "My Father is working, and my work agrees unto it." And it says in verse number 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, in their opinion, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Well, the thing is, it's the truth. He is part of the Godhead. He is God the Son come in the flesh. And he begins, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily." When you see these words, "verily, verily," in the scripture, "truly, truly," it's of the most important information. It's essential information. You cannot do without it. It's the word of God to you. Oh, yes, the Lord is dealing with these folks here. But when he says, "verily, verily," it's word that all of us need. All of us need to hear and receive and believe. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So the Lord makes it very plain that he's no freelancer. He's doing what the Father has given him to do. And isn't that a testimony to you and me? You know, pursuit of the Lord is not by our own device or by our own way, but by the directive of the Lord. Even Jesus, when he came as a man, obeyed the Father and the will of the Father. And so there's no freelancing with the Lord. There's only obedience unto him. As the brother brought out, as it says over in 1 Samuel, the prophet tells King Saul, the Lord's not looking for the sacrifice of your own device. The Lord is worshiped and honored and praised in obedience to his word. Obedience to what he has said. Oh, to obey is better than the sacrifice, the other way that you and I come up with. And so the Lord says that he is in total agreement with what the Father has doing and has sent him to do. Verse 20, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." So there's this great love of the Father for the Son. There's nothing that the Father holds back from the Son. And there's going to be greater things than the Lord healing this man that are going to be revealed. And this word marvel, we don't use it much, but that's what it's talking about when you're looking at something and you can see it happening, but you cannot believe it with your eyes. The tendency is our jaw drops open when we marvel. Have you ever done that? You can't believe what you're seeing. That's what the Lord said. There's going to be some things coming that you're going to marvel at. The healing of this man is one thing, but these other things will be greater than that. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," that word quickeneth is speaking about making alive, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, what's that say? That's telling us that God the Father has the power of life. The God the Father makes alive who he will make alive. Did you arrive here of your own accord? No, you were given life by your parents in the way that the Lord has designed things, and you have a soul from God Almighty. God has given life. He says here The Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. The Son also makes alive. So not only is there physical life that we have, but there's also the missing, naturally, the missing spiritual life that we need to have fellowship with our Lord. We need spiritual life. In John chapter 3, just a couple of chapters before this, the Lord Jesus Christ visited with this man that came unto him by night, Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was asking, "Who are you and what are you doing? We know the power of God's got to be upon you." The Lord ultimately tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again. I'm an older man. How can I be born from my mother?" The Lord says, "Oh, you've got to be born in the flesh indeed, but you've got to be born of the Spirit too. Born of God. How is it that one's born of God? Well, by believing the Lord and hearing his word and trusting in him, receiving the Lord as he says. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and makes them alive, even so the Son of Man makes alive whom he will." Sinner, you need Jesus. We sang these songs this morning about Jesus. We don't need religion. We don't need a denomination, our souls. We need Christ. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother mentioned again this morning about those that have religion and the Jews, this crowd here that is vehement against Christ, they have religion. But religion is a thing that makes man feel better. Salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the healing that sinners need, and that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that said that he came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners like you and me to repentance. He came to seek and save that which was lost, not that which thinks it's okay, but to call sinners into repentance. So here we see one facet where the Lord, as the Father does, gives life, what's it say? To whom he will. Do you need life? I tell you what, Jesus is the one that you need to go to. Listen to this. Another aspect, for the Father, verse 22, judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Oh, I thought we were going to stand before God. Well, yeah, you will. I will. We will. We'll stand before God. But understand that God and his greatness and who he is three persons, yet one God. And you know what? Judgment has been granted. It's been given unto the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is that manifestation of God, that connection with God that has come to mankind. Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Creator, Colossians chapter 1. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, fellas, you're messing with the judge. You're dealing with the judge here. The Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. Does it say all? My Bible says all. I don't know about your Bible. My Bible says all. It doesn't say most. Understand that the Lord, when he judges, when men, women stand before the judge, going at that threshold of eternity, if you will, they will stand before Christ, the Savior. The very one that has saved sinners, they will stand before their Savior at the judgment seat of Christ. Not a judgment to determine whether a sinner will go to heaven or hell, because if you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is secure in Christ. You are on your way and will go to be with the Lord in heaven, or the new heaven and new earth and the millennial reign and all those things that the Lord tells about us in the Scriptures. But the sinner that is without Christ and dies in his sins, the Scripture says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. They'll stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. Oh, there'll be a time spent in hell for a while because of sin and disobedience, then brought up to be judged by our Lord at the great white throne judgment. See, sinners that have rejected the Christ, the Savior, will stand before him in judgment. Don't reject the gospel of the Savior. Don't reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All judgment has been committed unto him, and you will stand before him in one way or another and give an account. I pray that you repent and you bow the knee to our Lord here and not leave out of this life with your sins and nothing that you can do with them. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, verse 23, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. He says, you fellows aren't honoring me in the way that you should. And it's the case in our day too, and in our generation. There's no honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a thinking that Jesus Christ is this long-haired, hippie freak, wimpy looking kind of fella. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not so. He's the Savior and He's the Judge. He is God manifested in the flesh. We are to honor the Lord, and when we honor someone, we pay attention to what they say. We hear and look to believe what they say. We believe when we honor someone, you think about those that you honor in your life and those that you esteem. Maybe you have a mentor in your life or some in your family that you love and you know they give good advice and you listen, you pay attention. Maybe in your career or different aspects of your life, you've had those that have been a big help to you, and when they speak, you listen. Well, that's the way it needs to be with the Lord Jesus. He has spoken, and you and I need to listen. We need to hear Him. This judgment has been committed unto the Son, that all should honor Him the way they honor the Father. This group here say that they honor the Father, but they totally reject the Lord Jesus Christ, don't they? He says here, if you don't honor me, you're not honoring the Father which you claim, because He sent me. He gets really clear about that. I have been sent by the Father. The very ministry that you abhor has been sent and is directed by God the Father. Verse 24, another verily, verily here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here's the way it is in regards to the soul. We've heard about judgment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Okay? So the Lord says, let's break that down. He that heareth my word. Do you believe what Jesus has said? Do you hear and believe that Jesus says he came to save sinners? And you understand and believe before God Almighty, not reckoning it to me, but before God that you're a sinner, condemned, lost and undone, deserving of hell for eternity. Do you see that? Verily, verily, I say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Do you believe and understand that Jesus has been sent? Well, it's right there in John chapter 3, right? The passage that most all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father sent the Son. He sent the Son. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul? For the forgiveness of your sins? Or you say, no, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad a sinner. There's others that need that. That brother Jim, he needs that for sure. But not me. I don't need anybody to die for me. The only way that you can have help and hope is to have the Lord Jesus Christ having died for you. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you rest and trust in the Lord and what he has done? Not what you can offer God, but what he has done for a sinner like you. He says here, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. See, the Lord tells there in John chapter 3, he says, sinners that don't believe and trust in Christ, they've got the weight of their sin upon them. There's a coming damnation in hell and the lake of fire for sins that are not taken care of and paid for by Christ. It's like a cloud that's over the sinner. And you know what? At death, it begins to be reckoned. Coming damnation in hell in the lake of fire. Condemnation. It's on the way. It's as sure as it can be. For the one that's saved, that condemnation's been removed. Why? Christ has paid for the sins. He's paid for them free. free, freely paid for them. But the one that has not received Christ, is not trusting in Him, not resting in Him and having been saved by Him, they have that condemnation upon them. What's he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Don't have to worry about losing salvation. Don't have to worry about the penalty of those sins coming back. What's he say? But it's passed from death unto life. That's what the Lord does when he saves a sinner. He brings them from a way of death. He brings them unto life and light. Verse 25, another aspect. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. It's right now. It is yet now. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This down here in verse number, backing up in verse number 21, the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, makes them alive, and the Son of Man quickens whom He will. That's what He's talking about. Do you hear Him? That's the whole thing about the Lord and His ministry and His work. The purpose of God and the working of God is that His Word has gone out, His truth has gone out to mankind. Not a great exhibition, not a great show, although the miracles of Christ were magnificent. But for the most part, that was only a time of 3 years upon this earth, and we hear about the miracles. We've not seen the miracles. But the word of the Lord goes out into mankind, and the Lord gives His word with the purpose and expectation for man to hear and believe the Lord. We want this. We want fanfare. We want a big showing. It's kind of like I think about Naaman, and when he went to Elisha to be healed, surely he would wave over the leper and he would do some great thing. And what he did, he sent Gehazi out there and said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Didn't even come out to him. That's what our flesh wants. But the Lord, He says, you need to hear. Need to hear the voice of the Son of God. You know what? They that hear will be brought from death into life. And they that hear shall live. Do you hear the Lord? Have you ever seen yourself as the sinner that you truly are? Before God, not before me or someone else, but before the Lord. Have you seen yourself as the sinner that you are? And have you seen Christ? Do you hear Him? Where He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from that burden of sin. I'll give you rest from that fear and that doubt and what's on the other side of death. I'll give you rest from those things. I'll give you life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Are you saved? If you're not saved, look to the Lamb of God. Hear Him and believe Him. Listen to what He says. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given the Son to have life in Himself. He's the giver of life. Not only physical life, as He dealt with Nicodemus there, but spiritual life too. You need to be born the second time. Born twice, only die once in this flesh. If you're only born once in this life, you'll die in the flesh and you'll die spiritually in the lake of fire forever. The scripture makes it very clear that the lake of fire is the second death. The Son has life in Himself. Verse 27, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment, as we've seen before. He's the Savior and He's also the Judge. Why? Because He's the Son of Man. See, Jesus is the representative of God for men before God. And Jesus is the representative of man before God. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer to every need that you and I have. And beginning with the need of our souls. He hath given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man. He is the man that has obeyed God. He doesn't have the same daddy that you and I have. Our daddy is Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ, He had a mother from among the children of Adam, indeed, Mary. But his father is God Almighty. We're talking about a different bloodline. A bloodline whose blood has made the difference. All of my blood could not touch one of my sins, much less yours. But the blood of Christ washes away the sins of those that come to him in repentance and faith. Verse 28, marvel not at this. Don't let your jaw drop open at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. You want to know something? Sinners are saved by hearing and believing and trusting in my word and trusting in me. But you know what? There's going to come a time when I am going to speak and those in the graves will come up. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. How is it? And shall come forth, verse 29, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Well, there it is, Brother Jim. If you just do good, you'll be all right. See, your goodness and my goodness and our natural estimation is not the goodness of the Lord. When the Lord thinks good, he thinks Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Savior, he's not only the judge, but our Lord Jesus Christ is the measuring rule. How do you measure up to the Lord Jesus Christ? He came and denied himself as a man that he might win salvation for sinners, being totally and completely obedient to the Father in every way. I was talking to some brethren the other day. As Christ came and became a man, what did he ever do for himself? All that Christ did, he did in obedience to the Father and he did for others. In the prime of his life, good to see families in the services, isn't it? Mothers, fathers, children. Good to see families with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down having a family, having a wife, having children, and gave himself on the cross of Calvary at 33 years old in the prime of his life. He laid down what is natural for us to pursue, so that he might win and accomplish salvation for sinners like you and me. He says, there's going to come a time that those that have done good by obeying Christ, obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to the Lord in repentance and faith, they're going to be raised and come forth when the Lord cries for them, when he commands them. They that are in the grave shall hear his voice when he says, come forth, and they'll be raised in the resurrection of life, eternal life that the Lord gives. They'll have a body like Christ. They will live forever. We will live forever with him. And he goes on that there's going to come a time that they which have done evil under the resurrection of damnation, that's when the damnation's going to be meted, the condemnation that has been spoken about, the wrath of God Almighty for eternity for sins unpaid. Sinners will be given a body that will live forever in that torment. They'll be given a body that will live there forever in that torment, being perpetually and continually destroyed but never being consumed. Hard for us to imagine how terrible that would be. But it is so. Our Lord tells us so. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. This is not some agent giving us his words, someone that's relaying such to us, but this is the Lord Jesus Christ says he's got the power of life and to salvation, and he's got the power to call back from the dead for resurrection. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. See, that's one thing that you can rely on about this judge. He won't get it wrong. He won't make an error. He is the final word in the law and truth and knows everything to the greatest extent. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Again, he's no freelancer. He's doing what the Father is giving him to do. Now the Lord speaks for a little bit about witness, and I want us to hear this. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If I'm just some flunky that's coming around here and my word is the only thing that backs up my ministry, then there you are, okay? There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. See, our Lord Jesus had a messenger sent before him some 2,000 years ago, crying. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was a voice crying when there hadn't been a voice crying for 400 years. He says, make clear out the way for the Lord. Make the way of the Lord clear. He's coming. He's going to make every valley filled, and he's going to make every mountaintop come low. John preached and said, he's like a farmer that has gathered in the wheat and has got that wheat in the threshing floor, and he's beaten that wheat, and he's going to take his fan and he's going to throw it up in that fall or that spring wind, and he's going to take that wheat and he's going to put it in the silo and gather it into the garner. But you know what he's going to do with the chaff? He's going to burn it with fire unquenchable. That's what John preached. He said, there's one at hand, and I'm not worthy to reach down and untie his shoes. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. The Lord says, there was a witness sent by the Lord of me, and it was John. But he says here, but I received not, verse number 34, but I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He says, I'm telling you the truth that you might be saved. I'm telling you about how it is, about how the Father has given me the ability to give life. The Father has committed judgment unto me, and that I am the Savior and that I am the judge. I'm telling you these things that you might be saved. John was a burning and shining light, he says. But he says there's a greater witness than that of John. He says, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, verse 36, bear witness of me and the Father that the Father hath sent me. The power of the Lord. We saw it on Wednesday night and how it tells in each of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When the four bore the man taken with the palsy and lowered him down through the rooftop because they couldn't get at Jesus on the inside. You remember that account? The Lord Jesus Christ looked over to the man and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know what that happened? What happened with the religious elite there? They tore their shirt. They got beside themselves. Who is this that speaks blasphemy and forgives sins? God's the only one that can forgive sins. That's the point. God is in the midst. And the Lord Jesus says, which is easier? He knew what they were thinking. He perceived their thoughts. He said, which is easier for me to say to this man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or for me to say unto him, get up, take up your bed, and go home? Listen. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's what you and I need. I say unto thee, rise up, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And you know what happened? The man did so. The miracles were done so that we might know that Jesus is the Savior and has the power to save and forgive sins. Are your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have and know of a surety that he died for you some 2,000 years ago? That when he was there on the cross of Calvary, do you believe and know that Jesus was thinking and doing so for you? Are you a sinner? You need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the one. He says, the works that I do, they bear witness of me, and they tell that I am sent from the Father. He talks to them about how they won't hear the word of the Lord. And as a brother pointed out in Sunday school, they've got their own commentary. A favorite verse in verse number 39 of this chapter. Search the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ says, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And it's those very scriptures, those Old Testament scriptures, are the ones, they are they which testify of me. All the Old Testament tells about what Jesus Christ would come and do. And all the New Testament tells about what he came and has done. Verse number 40. He's speaking specifically to these that are at hand. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. So what's the counterpoint of that? Come to Christ and you can have life. He doesn't receive honor from men. He knows with these that he's dealing with, this religious elite, that they don't have the love of God in him. Why? They don't receive him. He said, you'll receive any Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes along. But when the one comes preaching the word of God and the truth of God's word and honoring that, you won't receive him. Verse number 46. For had ye believed Moses and what he wrote in the Old Testament, first five books, ye would have believed me. For even Moses wrote of me. He did. He did. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Words. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you in regard to believing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember verse 34, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say. And what do you do with things that are said? You hear them. And you believe them or not. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved.